Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two players, if you will, in this Isaiah passage. He and us. So let's consider the us component first. Us. We. We are in terrible shape. Griefs and sorrows. Transgressions and iniquities, griefs and sorrows brought on by transgressions and iniquities. And what do those griefs and sorrows look like but a loss of paradise and separation from God? A life of hard labor and nature turned against us. And in the end, death, the ultimate sorrow. All a result of transgressions and iniquities, or to use a smaller word, sin. Sin, missing the mark, acting contrary to God's will, making ourselves out to be gods. It's not how it was supposed to be in the perfect world before the fall. Then God and humans were in harmony. In communion with one another, God provided, and then humans responded by loving and trusting God and being obedient to Him. And this was justice in the world. God providing for His people, and the people responding to God's ordinance and living according to His will. And in the midst of all that, paradise remained. But after the fall, justice was offended. Things became out of order, unbalanced. God continued to provide, and the humans rejected God. And it's been passed down to us such that we fall into sin, transgressions, and iniquities. And there's no well-being because we are cursed, we are condemned, and we are incapable of fixing the problem. That's us. So what of the he? Well, he suffers for us. He doesn't so much share in our sufferings. Oh, he's a man of sorrows, and he certainly suffers. But the sufferings and sorrows that he experiences are not a result of his sin, for he does not transgress. There is no iniquity in him. His suffering is because of our transgressions and iniquities. So there's a subtle difference. You see, if it wasn't for us and our transgressions and iniquities, he would not suffer because God had no beef with him. He was without sin, perfect in every way. God provided, he responded in righteousness. But remember, the system is out of order. We are not righteous, and God determines that he must suffer. Indeed, he has borne our griefs, griefs like separation from God and condemnation. He has carried our sorrows, the loss of paradise and death. He was wounded for our transgressions. He went in our place and took the punishment that we deserved. He was crushed for our iniquities. The stroke of justice was upon him. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Chastisement and stripes on him, but it means that we are healed. We have peace, and justice is finally served, meaning that we are restored to God. These are indeed sweet injuries, not injuries we would ever wish upon anyone, but injuries that fix our problem, one that we could not fix, one that would otherwise lead to eternal death. That is love unknown. Paul says, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, yet for a good person, perhaps one would dare to die." It's kind of an odd statement, but think of it this way. A righteous person is right with God. And so there's no need to die for such a person as this. That person doesn't need any help. But maybe a good person is just a step below a really righteous person and needs a little push to get over the top. And so someone might dare to die for such a person. It's just this, when Paul uses words like righteous and good, he's not talking about us and our standing before God. Instead, he makes this statement. He says those things about a righteous person and a good person, and then he says this, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were neither good nor righteous, transgressors, workers of iniquity, but Christ doesn't wait for us to become righteous or even good while we were still sinners. Christ died for us, accomplishing for us what we could never accomplish. And by his wounds, we are healed. That brings us peace and healing. Peace that passes understanding. Peace that the world cannot give. Peace that knows that the condemnation has been lifted. And our guilt is swept away as we are restored back to God. It is a healing from the wounds of sin that we would not be stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Instead, by the blood of Christ, we are loved by God and redeemed by God. Sweet injuries carry all of our sorrows and griefs and transgressions and iniquities, and in return bring us peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.